Welcome to the Zoom people. There's so many on Zoom, so that's lovely. All right, well, let's just look to the Lord and ask his blessing on this time. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us your word. And in your word is everything that we need to live this life victoriously. And we thank you today as we take portions of your word today, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will explain things and give us quick understanding so that we will grow and understand and have direction in the things of God. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Well, I thought I probably wasn't going to have to preach this morning because Julie has sort of taken a lot of my message already. And I can say quite confidently today, this is from God. This is from God. Several weeks ago, I suppose about, 6 weeks ago or so, it was before the election anyway, and I was praying, of course, about the election, and also I was praying and asking the Lord to give me a word to that I could bounce off to start my message today. So that's what I've been doing lately, and the Lord always comes through and gives me words. And so, I put that out there to the Lord, and then I kind of just forget about it. And then one day this word came to me, and it was dark days. And I thought, oh, sort of not the thing I really wanted to hear. And so I felt it was from the Lord, but I put it aside because I like to take the principle in the word where it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So what I normally do is when I hear from the Lord, I just put it to aside and let it rest and sort of try to put it out of my mind. And then probably about a week after that, when I wasn't thinking about anything at all, probably just doing my work, and the word came again, dark days ahead. So I knew it was from God. And it wasn't something I was particularly happy about hearing. And you might think, well, how could that be from the Lord? How could that be from the Holy Spirit? He's not going to tell you something bad. He's not going to tell you about bad things. But he does. The word tells us that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. He'll bring things to our remembrance, but he'll show us things to come. And I know during my own life, there have been numerous occasions when the Lord has told me something that I didn't want to hear. But the reason that he does this is because when the thing actually happens, the impact of it is not so great because you've had time to think about it and pray about it, and sometimes you can change things, sometimes you can't, but you've had time to let it rest, and when it actually happens, the impact is minimised. And also with it, depending on whatever the word was that the Lord gave you, he would give you direction in that as well. Anyway, I knew dark days. So, as I say, I wasn't particularly thrilled about all that. I didn't tell anybody. I just kept it to myself. And I said to the Lord, well, I can't very well preach on dark days. Nobody is going to want to hear that. it's not exactly an edifying message, a building up message of doom and gloom. And so I let it rest, and then I kept asking the Lord about it, and he gave me these words. And Julie's already said them today, light in the darkness. And that is the title of my message, Light in the Darkness. And Julie didn't know what I was preaching on. So, you know, it's another confirmation for me. This is from the Lord, friends. And I can say that with absolute, complete confidence. So we really need to listen to what God is saying and take it as a message, not just for our church, but for the church. And I'll expound upon that in a minute. Now, we know from the Word of God that we are nearing the end of the age. Now, when I say the age, that is the church age. We are in the church age. The church age started on the day of Pentecost, and it will finish on the day that Jesus comes and raptures up the church. And after that, we will go into the tribulation period, which will be a period of 7 years. But we won't be there. Praise the Lord. You can have confidence in that because the church will be raptured up to be with Jesus, and we will be there having the marriage supper of the Lamb while the tribulation period is going on. So the church age, and I want you to imagine this, the church age is finished. So there's no more church. And even though we've got this new sign out here with, Sunday 10 a.m. all welcome, once the church is gone, if anyone drives in, it's all going to be closed up. Rosie and Steve are not going to be doing the coffee, and Steve's not going to be running up to welcome people because he won't be here. We won't be here. Praise the Lord. Would someone mind if we had these fans on? I just feel a little bit hot. Maybe it's the hot air I'm putting out. thank you. So I want you to imagine it, that the church age is finished. So there's no more church on the earth. And in actual fact, that tribulation period, and I don't have time to teach on this today, but just as a little tiny quick thing to say, is actually Daniel's 70th week. Now, all those who come to Bible study will know all about it because we've done a big study on it, haven't we, Chris? so if you want to know more about it and have some understanding about it, you can always get those notes from me. I can always send them to you. And I think you'll find them interesting. And, you know, when we have understanding about things, it dispels any fears we might have. It brings peace and it encourages us and gives us direction and correction. And so, in actual fact, Daniel's 70th week is a week of years, and it will be a period of 7 years. And all this is prophesied in Daniel because it's part of the Jewish times that wasn't completed. And see, all of God's word has got to come to pass. And so this 7 year period has to be completed. And that's what it will be. Now, that's just that in a little nutshell, but might like to read the whole notes or give you a greater understanding. So it'll go back to Jewish times. So there'll be no church. And then at the end of that tribulation period, Jesus will come back at his second coming. There's two separate events, right? The rapture. In the rapture, Jesus' feet, you can read it, don't touch the earth, and we go up to meet him in the air, you know those scriptures. But and then we're with him, having the marriage supper of the Lamb, a wonderful time. And then we come back with him, and that's the second coming. And you know the story, the Battle of Armageddon. It's all over, Red Rover by then. And then you go into the millennium, which is 1,000 years of peace, and Jesus rules with an iron rod. So that's just it in a little nutshell. So the thing is that we have to imagine what it will be like on this earth when there's no light there. It'll be pretty sad for people because we're the only light that's ever going to be that the world is ever going to know. And once the church is gone, the light is going to go out. Thessalonians, now this is just one little scripture, which, and there are many more, which actually tells us that we will not be here for that tribulation period, because a lot of people get that wrong, but actually it's pretty hard to get it wrong, actually. It's very, 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 very clearly laid out in the scriptures. But in Thessalonians it says that we are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The coming wrath is the tribulation period. We are in the age of grace now. We're in God's grace, the church age. So I think it's good to know those things and just think about that for a little minute, what it's going to be like. We are to be that light in the darkness, and that's what we are now. We are a light in the darkness. As Graham said, we're going to go there and we're going to be a light. And I thought, oh, he's got my message. So yeah, how good was that? And this whole terrible thing that it fits right in with what I'm saying now, and that's why I'm saying this is from the Lord today. This is from the Lord. Now, also, I noticed too, when I had already done or sort of was doing my message, that Julie wrote in her email, and she's quoted this scripture again today, about Isaiah 60. And that Isaiah 60, and I'll read it, was the theme of the BMI conference. And it says, "For arise, shine." It's one of my favourite scriptures, actually. "For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." Whoa, well, after what Julie read out, man. "And deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Praise the Lord. And I didn't write down the rest of it about kings coming to your rising. I don't know why I missed that. I haven't got it up there, have I? No, it's all right. Don't worry. We'll just leave it there. But the point is that this was a prophetic word all those years ago, but I feel, doesn't this apply now? We have to arise. We have to shine. We have to let our light shine. And, you know, we've often said, oh, we need to be a light for Jesus. And you know, sometimes it can be like a little catchphrase. But what does that actually mean, being a light? And I believe it means being a standout, because light stands out, and it stands out more in darkness than it does in light. I mean, if you had a little torch, even with a little tiny, you know, light on it, and it was a bright sunny day and you had your torch, it may not and probably wouldn't even be noticed. But come the evening, come the dark, come a dark night with no stars and that little tiny prick of a light, didn't matter how small it is, it's going to be seen. And so that's a great analogy, that you might think, oh, gee, I'm nothing much, you know, what can I do, you know, all these people. But you are a light, and that light is going to shine, and the darkness cannot put it out. The darkness cannot put it out. 1 Thessalonians, here's a few scriptures, and I was surprised the number of scriptures in the Bible about light and darkness. It was, you know, as I went through and studied all this, it was just extraordinary how much God talks about it. In Thessalonians, it says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." That's just one scripture. Matthew, this one here is probably even a bit better known. This is Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's another exhortation from Jesus himself, that we need to check that our lights are on, and we need to check that they're still on. You know, sometimes the battery in the torch goes off. So we need to make sure our battery isn't depleted and we need a new battery. Maybe sometimes, if we were honest, maybe our lights have never been turned on. Maybe you've been one of these who's, or maybe any of us have, who've hidden our lights. The closet Christian. You know, if someone was to accuse you of being a Christian, they'd say, no, they're not a Christian, don't worry, they're not. Because your light had never shone. You'd kept it a big secret. Is there time? We are going to have to stand up and be counted. And we are going to stand out, because it's going to be very, very different what we believe and what we stand for, that, as Julie just explained, compared to the darkness. Now, I like this parable of Jesus, and I'm going to read this, and it is the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, this is very pertinent to what we're talking about today. So let's just read it through. And listen to the words as we read it. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So that's setting the scene there, isn't it? Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, there's a whole lot in that parable. The first thing that we have to notice is the parable is about 10 virgins. Now, Jesus uses the word virgins to show us that virgins are pure, beautiful young ladies, pure, clean, washed. So it's not talking about Christians and non-Christians. This is talking about 10 Christians, 10 believers, those who are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And then the sad thing is, he said, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And when you put it in a percentage form, it's pretty bad, isn't it? 50%. Now, you know, if they said, 9 out of 10 were wise, but 1 was foolish, you go, "Oh, right, that one foolish one." No, it was 50% were foolish. So it puts 50% in the category who, when we read on here, they'd let their lamps go out and they had no oil. that when the bridegroom came, that he said, I don't even know you. I mean, when you read into this, this is pretty hard, pretty strict, isn't it? When you actually read what Jesus is saying here. You know, this is not just a fairy story. It's not just a, you know, parable fairy story. This is a warning from Jesus. And he's talking about the end times. He's talking about the bridegroom coming, because we don't know the day and the hour, but we do know the season, and we are in the season. It could be any time. And the message here is about being ready. You see, the foolish ones, they didn't have enough oil. They didn't have enough of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have enough of the things of God. At the crucial time in their lives, they'd let it all slip. They might have started off pretty good, you know, started off and got saved, and we're all excited once we get saved. You know, it's really great, isn't it? But it takes something. It takes some tenacity. It takes some determination, and it takes some commitment to go forward and still be there 20 years later, or 30 or 40 or however, if you're as old as me, you know. It takes some, because you're going to have opportunities on the way not to. The devil will make sure of that. And so, you know, these people, these foolish, had been washed. They were pure. They'd been washed. But their light had gone out and there was no light. And Jesus said, I didn't know you. I don't even know you. So this is all about the church being ready and about us being ready. And, you know, we always kind of think of ourselves in the category of the wise, don't we? But, you know, it made me think about this and think, well, we need to think seriously about this. And I noticed with the... In the Word of God, that he talks about light and darkness, black and white. He doesn't talk about grey. sorry, a person is either black or they're white. I'll just get a little drink. Sorry. Better. So people who are grey, some people are grey. They're fence sitters. They're people pleasers. They're people who have the attitude, well, you know, I have my own beliefs. I have my own thoughts on things. But, you know, if you're a Christian, I think we were talking about this at Bible study last week, if you're a Christian, you are obligated to believe God and to believe his word. If you're not a Christian, that's fine. You can have your own beliefs. You can believe whatever you want to. But if you are a Christian, you cannot just say, well, I have my own little beliefs, because that immediately puts you in a different category. So... you know, we have to be either black or white. Well, we don't have to be black, do we? We have to be white. We have to be white. And, you know, as I said, lots of people get saved, but they never read the word. And, you know, that takes a commitment, doesn't it? They never pray. They only go to church irregularly, if at all. And they go back into the world. And their lives really are not very different to an unbeliever. You really wouldn't see much difference at all. But we need to nail our colours to the cross. And, you know, and our colour is white. I often have an argument with my grandchildren. They go, Nana, black and white are not colours. And I say, well, I've got a tube of black and a tube of white in my palette. No, you're wrong, Nana. Of course, Nana's always wrong. Right, let's look at Romans 12. So we nail our white colour, white for purity. That's who we are, the light of the world. Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Notice I've got that in red. Hold that thought. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed. The world says, conform, conform. You must conform to our way of thinking. You must not disagree. You must not criticize. You must not give another opinion. Am I right in saying that? I'm not just making it up, am I? It's become more and more so that unless you conform to the world, you're in trouble. So it's in the day that we're in, it's not as easy now to be a Christian as we've had most of our life, because, even people who weren't saved, they were still had similar sort of principles, you know. But it's not like that now. And just that disgusting thing that Julie read out, which I don't know about you, but I couldn't even understand what they're talking about. Could you understand it? It was such a lot of gobbledygook, but we know that it was darkness, wasn't it? It was darkness, and to think that that was in a capital city of a state is just absolutely appalling. But it shows us the times, the sign of the times that we're in. And we are in dark days, and this is because we're leading up to the darkest days that are going to be on this earth, and that's the tribulation period. And, you know, it won't suddenly be all light and wonderful and then suddenly the tribulation period. No, it'll gradually be a lead up, as we know. You know, if you look back on your lives, and sort of old as Ross and I know most of you aren't that old, but when we look back on our lives, how things have changed. To what, you know? And, you know, Ross and I, we've stayed the same. We still believe the same things that we did back there, the same principles. But a lot of people haven't. They've changed with the world. They've gone with the world and gone into darkness. So we have to renew our mind to the Word of God. What does that mean? We have to think like God thinks. We have to read the Word. And if it's in the Word and God says it, well, then that's the truth. If he says it's sin, guess what? It's sin. It's not just my problem, or it's not just the way I am. No, it's sin. If God says it's sin, it's sin. We have to transform our mind and think like God. Prove what the perfect will of God is. There's three different wills here: good, acceptable, and perfect. So we have to prove by looking into the Word. And we've got to do some of that ourselves, you know, not be lazy. Not be lazy. So we've got to become narrow-minded. Oh, narrow-minded. Yep, we have to be narrow-minded. Jesus said that there's a narrow way and there's a broad way, didn't he? And he said the narrow way leads to life and the broad way leads to death. So we have to be narrow-minded. We don't embrace all religions. We don't embrace all doctrines. We don't embrace traditions. We only embrace the Word of God. And Jesus was our best example for that, because, you know, he didn't embrace what the Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers said, you know, and he was pretty firm, and he said, your traditions have made the Word of God to no effect. So we have to follow Jesus. He's our standard, isn't he? And this is the way, this is the only way that we are going to stand out in this dark world, because we are going to have something to say that's different, and we're going to stand up for what we know is truth. We're going to stand up for righteousness. Now, if we were to look at some of our forefathers in the faith, there were three that I thought of who were a standout. And one was Noah, and one was Lot, and one was Daniel. Now, with Noah, you know, how would you like to be the only person living now? You know, there'd be no one else in church, only you are here, just the pastor. you were the only one. Everyone else was thinking different. Everyone else was the guy. And yet Noah, he was a standout, wasn't he? And so was Lot. The same thing. He was the only one and his family who were protected and who stood out when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, the twin cities of sin, the Bible calls them. And he and his family were the only ones saved. Well, his wife wasn't saved because she looked back. They said, don't look back. And I don't think it was just the act. This is what I think anyway. I don't think it was just the action of her looking back. I think she was looking back to that lifestyle because I think some of it had got in her. That's just my little thought. You can think that or not. But, you know, don't look back because these things do get in you, don't they? It's hard when you're in the world and everyone else is saying something else, is saying that's fine and that. And, you know, it's not going to be easy for us to stand up. It's going to be harder and harder, as we know. As Jesus said, dark days are ahead. And that was a serious warning. And then Daniel, of course, wow, what a standout was he. He wasn't going to bow down to any statue. You know, he really put his life on the line. And yet, but the thing about these three people, Noah, Lot and Daniel, was they were standouts and they were protected. They were all protected. So all of them. So do you want God's protection in these last days? If you want God's protection, you know, that's the little benefit that's going to go along with it. We are going to be protected and we're not going to have to go through the tribulation period because we don't need to be here for that time. You know, the Bible says there will never be a time like it on this earth. So, you know, you might think things are bad, you might think things are dark, but hey, this is the only light that the world is ever going to know. Evil, as Julius said this morning, is becoming bolder and bolder, darker and darker. But the darker it comes, guess what? The lighter we stand, the more we stand out, our light stand out. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. In other words, when the law came in, it showed what was wrong and what was right, gave a standard. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we could say, where sin is abounding, God's grace for us is much more going to abound. God's favour. We have his favour, we have his protection. We want that, don't we? We want that. And in these days, God is going to protect his people. He is. He did it in times past, and he's going to do it now. In Timothy, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. Oh, it makes me think back in that parable of the virgins, where, you know, the five foolish came and the Lord said, I don't know you. But it says here, the Lord knows those that are his. He knows us. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows who belongs to him. Now, I love this scripture in Exodus. It's one of my favourites. I've got lots of favourites. But it says here, but against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue. I love that. Against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a difference. I've got that in red. Between the Egyptians and Israel. Even a dog. Well, there's lots of dogs out there wagging their tongues against the church, isn't there? But, you know, God is going to protect us, and he is going to make a difference between those who believe him and those who do not. If God made a difference between Israel and Egypt is a type of the world, he will make a difference between his people today. And another scripture now, which I love too, is, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Imagine that. Woo! No. And maybe you felt some of that darkness when you were down there at Hobart, Jules. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Now, just imagine this, right? They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Really? But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, you remember that the children of Israel lived in a land called Goshen. There was light in the land of Goshen. And I looked up the name for Goshen, and it means a land of plenty and comfort. That was just a little tidbit. But just imagine that scenario. Just imagine if you lived on the outskirts of Goshen and you had your fence around your house, and next door neighbour, they're in Egypt. And here you are in the light, and look over the fence. Oh, whoopsie, dark there. Suppose it was like that. Oh, dear. You know, friends, the days of miracles are not over. We read about all these incredible things, but they're not over, they're just beginning. God is going to show his mighty power in our age. And just by, you know, this, you know, little thing today with the Lord giving me this message and confirming this message, we know this is God speaking to us. We can hold on to this. We can believe for things. And we can be people that the Lord will be proud of, that when he comes, we will be ready and we can go into the marriage. Amen? Amen.
Hello. That was really good. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Don't need to say anything else. It's been said. If you want to look up Dark Mofo, Google it and just see for yourself how bad it was. Okay. We're just going to praise God as we finish up this morning. How great is our God?